You're listening to Otto D, coming at you live.
Yes, which way, what, when, how? Mr. Otto D, flip the track right now.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in on this beautiful Monday morning here in Scottsdale, Arizona. I am your host, Otto Dagnolo, broadcasting live from Dave Pratt's Star Worldwide Network Studios, high above Camelback Road. My guest on the Otto D Show this morning is an incredible character, a very talented musician and producer. Lamar Gaines is in the house, and he will be joining us in just a few minutes right after this track from Fervor Records catalog by an artist called Kubi Koo, and the tune is Goldmine. Check this out.
Listening to Otto D, coming at you live.
And that was Goldmine from Fervor Records recording artist Kubi Koo here on the Otto D Show, which is brought to you today by Fervor Records. You can find Fervor at fervor-records.com. And also brought to you by there's only one place.com. And guess where you can find them. There's only one place.com. Thanks for listening. I really appreciate that you do. And today, I'd like to introduce you to a young man I've had the pleasure of knowing for a number of years, a good friend and an incredible musician. He's half of the Gaines brothers, and he's here now, Lamar Gaines. How are you doing, Lamar?
Hi, Otto. Thanks for having me.
I know we usually do this at night, and our schedules didn't work out that way. I'm sorry to get you out of bed.
It's all good. You know, that's what it calls for sometimes.
Yeah, well, I appreciate you making the effort. And, you know, you're looking out of this window six floors up at the beautiful sunshine in Arizona. It's just, isn't it awesome?
Oh, it's beautiful, man. You got a beautiful room here.
It's a neat space. It's a neat space. Now, listen, I mentioned that you're half of the Gaines brothers, so that's one of the things you do. So tell me a little bit about that project and when it got started.
Well, me and my brother have been doing music all our lives. So we just decided to just come together as a duo and put all this experience we have with each other and create our own group with it and do what we've been dreaming about doing since we were teenagers. So, and it finally came to a realization. So our first record we're working on now should be done in a couple months. Yeah, and that's how it started, man.
Okay. Now, how old is your brother? Is he older than you or younger than you, I mean?
He's younger. He's 2 years younger. Okay. So we're pretty close. Okay. You know, I'm 34. He's 32.
Yeah. And now you guys are from originally from Cleveland, right?
Yes. Yes. We've been out here in Arizona for 13 years. He's not here anymore. Matter of fact, he's in Denver, Colorado. But, you know, the flights are cheap. He's always in town.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about growing up in Cleveland. How old were you, you know, when you left, and how did you get started with music?
Okay, so Cleveland has a rich history in music.
Yeah,
you know,
certainly.
I mean, especially for jazz, particularly the music I like.
Let me ask you a question. Yeah. You probably won't even know this record, but I lived in Ohio for a while, and I went up to Cleveland and did a record, and it would have been in the mid-'80s, probably, mid to late-'80s. A girl named Debonese Bird with a song called Eyes Don't Lie. And it went to number one on the local Cleveland station.
Oh, really?
You were probably in grade school.
Yeah, I wasn't even born.
Okay. That was a long time ago. Oh, you're mad. That's true. I'm so old. I forget how old I am. I've been making records since before you were even born. Oh, well, never mind that record. Hey, Debonese, hope you're doing well. Okay. So take me back to Cleveland.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. So, we grew up in this rich environment of music in Cleveland. And my father was a musician, and he worked in town for all his life, and my mother was a music teacher. So we kind of got reared in that fashion of music in Cleveland. And I'm pretty fortunate to say I'm from there, because there's many great musicians that come out of that town. And, you know, Ohio is home of the funk and jazz. And
a lot of rock, too. It's crazy.
It's really cool. Yep. So, yeah, that's how we started there. Yeah.
So you were playing the club scene around there when you were young?
That's what we originally started in, yeah. My father, he would say, man, go play down at the club he was playing it, because he didn't feel like doing it. So he would have us go fill in.
You were a 70-year-old man. I love it. I bet he kept the money, though.
Well, you know, I say that, but he probably just did that to give us the experience of doing it, because we were into music. Yeah. That's what we wanted to do. And that's how we got started, man.
So when you were playing together with your brother, usually when you were growing up?
Yep. We came in up in the same school. So, we went to an art school, Cleveland School of the Arts. And that was a pretty prestigious school. It was a magnet school for students that were talented. You had to audition and the whole thing. And, I mean, after we went to school, we came out of high school. We were like, "What are we gonna do then?" And we, you know, there were options, there were places to play. But you know, after we moved out of house, we had to leave, because back then it was a weird environment. We were in the ghetto,
and it wasn't a big enough town.
Right. So you ran out of options of where you're gonna play, who you're gonna play with, and we wanted a more diverse experience. So that's when we decided to come to Arizona.
So now you and your brother together moved to Arizona.
Yep. Same time. It was also with my cousin. My cousin doesn't do music, though.
Okay.
But we came down together.
Okay.
Yep.
That had to be a trip.
It was a trip.
So when you came out here, you didn't have anything lined up. You just Pack the bags.
No, bro, we was homeless. Sleeping in car, man.
I love it.
Yeah, we were homeless. I was sleeping in parks, doing whatever, working odd jobs, just trying to make some money to eat.
Mm-hmm. You know? What kind of jobs did you end up having to do, or did you get to do?
I really don't want to talk about
They were that odd. Okay. Hey, I was a vacuum cleaner salesman. That's pretty odd. I did that for 3 months once, you know. But
no, we did everything. We did, you know, swept floors. We did call centers. This is one place. We still talk about it to this day.
Yeah.
It's called, it was on Broadway.
Okay.
In Tempe. It was called Daily Work, Daily Pay.
Okay. Well, that's pretty clear. But you don't know what you're going to do.
Oh, man. Let me tell you, bro. It was some characters. You would show up. And it would be all these weird types of people there. And then I think you would work really hard labor all day. And you would get like $25.
Wow.
Yeah.
Tough stuff.
That was the life.
But, you know, it's interesting. I think sometimes, especially for musicians, they have such a drive to get something. And the something isn't even necessarily a piece of gear, which it can be. But it's more like it's a dream to achieve. They have such a drive for it that they will do whatever they need to do.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And so it's fascinating to me because so many of my friends coming up did the same thing you talked about. And I did the same thing. I committed to move to L.A. with nothing but my bass guitar. Had a room where a guy said I could stay for 2 weeks. And the day before I left, I got offered a job and I didn't go. But it was like we all did that. I mean, I moved 9 times 1 year.
Wow.
With a duffel bag and a bass guitar.
Wow, you know? Man, that's a lot of moving.
But it's not a lot if you have a duffel bag and a bass guitar. You know. But so it's... I love that the three of you guys just came out here and went for it.
Yeah.
And you've done great in this market. I mean, you've been around for a while, and you've played with lots of people on lots of projects.
Yeah.
And you're an incredible player.
I'm blessed to say I've been able to make a living for the past, 12 years now, just doing music.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Now, what was the first thing you kind of got into musically here in Arizona?
Well, when I first got in the music scene, it was... churches, you know, church is always a market for musicians to play every Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
So we went to a couple small churches here in town, and then I really didn't get engulfed in the scene until I started playing with Mike Florio and mm-hmm. Connie mm-hmm. Cole at their club at the time, mm-hmm. Voce.
Right, up in Scottsdale.
Yeah, that's when I started meeting all the players in town and singers.
How cool was that? And how did you get that gig?
I got that gig. Okay, so it's
because I mean, Mike's great, Connie's great, and no slouch is going to get on that stage. So you don't walk in and go, "Oh, great! I'm glad you're here. We needed a piano player." It doesn't work like that.
Right. Right. Well, you know, this cat Dominic Amato,
mm-hmm. living in Nashville now.
When my brother decided to start playing out here in town, I was driving trucks, the 18-wheelers, mm-hmm. at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I was always going on the road. So he started playing at this club, Black Forest Mill.
Okay.
It was on Indian School. And, I mean, the band was slamming.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody would go out and see them. And on my days off, I
Who
would go
Who was in that band with Will?
Let's see if I can remember. Chris Strong on drums.
And that's Ryan. Is that Buddy's brother?
No.
It's not related? Okay.
No. Kendall Gilder. Do you know Kendall?
Yep. Yeah.
On guitar.
I think he's in California.
Yeah, he doesn't live here anymore.
He's great.
He's great. And then...
came back and played on the Whitney Jones record for me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. She's great, too.
Yeah.
Whitney's awesome singer. And then Ron Simpson. He was a bass player and guitar. It was his band.
Okay.
And then Will started playing there. And on my days off from driving trucks, I would go down there and sit in.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when Dominic had been there one night, and he had seen me play, and Voce needed a piano player at the time. So Dominic gave me a call and said, "Why don't you go down to Voce and meet Mike, because they're looking for somebody."
Mm-hmm.
And I went down and sat in, and they gave me the gig.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and I've been working. I've had the pleasure of working with them for years now.
Yeah. Now, when you say you sat in, who was performing? Were they performing, or was just various singers that night? Or when you sat in, how prepared were you to play what you ended up having to play?
At Voce?
That night.
I wasn't prepared at all, man. You know, when they called me to come down and play, I had just been playing everywhere, wherever I could.
And playing whatever, yeah.
And whatever. And there happened to be a song on their set list that I knew, and I played it. That's it. There was nothing much to it. Connie was singing that night.
Of course.
You know, so.
And isn't that fun when you have an incredible singer to back?
Oh, it was awesome, man.
It just makes it so much easier where you just feel like you just sit there and support. Yeah. You don't have to make it anything.
Right, right. You just fit your role and, you know, everybody fits in their space and it's great, man.
Okay. Yeah. And then that turned into a pretty good stint for a while then.
Yeah.
Because you were in the Voce house band. And
yeah, that's where I met, like, Brian Chartrand. I work with him now. Yeah. I met him down there. I met you through them. Yeah. I met a lot of people. And Mel Brown, too. Mel. I work with him a lot.
Yeah. Now, you have another band also called Unlimited.
Yes.
And now, is that project still together?
Yes. We're still together. We're all doing our individual things now. But maybe in the future we'll do another record.
And your brother was in that group as well, wasn't he?
Yes, yes. Okay. We all started, you know, a friend of ours from Cleveland as well. His name is Buddy Banks. He plays drums.
Mm-hmm.
So we had a group in Cleveland, and we played everywhere. And he happened to move down here, too.
Oh, cool.
And another cat, Jermaine Lockhart from Cleveland, he moved to Arizona. So we decided to put a band together. And it's a jazz fusion. It's kind of heady.
Mm-hmm.
But we love the music.
Right, it's fun, and when you're all good players, you can really dive into that.
Absolutely, and it was great. We did a record for the first time. That was our first record we ever did. I recorded it at my house, and you know, going through that process for the first time was a real learning experience for me, and the whole group. And the goal of the band was basically to come together as our own entities and make a great record.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's not like my band or Jermaine's band. It's a collective effort, and everybody wrote tunes for the record.
Oh, cool.
It was good.
And you guys, as Unlimited, have put one record out, one CD out.
One CD, yeah.
And what was the title of that?
Just Unlimited.
Unlimited?
Yep.
That makes it easy. And is that available for people online?
Yes, you can go to Spotify. You can go to...
and I definitely recommend streaming it. Just check it out anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? And then if you dig it, then definitely buy it and own it.
Mm-hmm.
And then with your brother, as the Gaines Brothers, you guys have been performing, but you're actually working on the first record. You haven't got anything out on that?
No. I sent you some tunes.
You did send me a couple songs, and one of them, are these both from the Gaines Brothers project?
One of them is. It's a remake of Brian Chartrand's Love Song. We did an arrangement to it.
Okay.
And the other one is from Unlimited. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So the let's see, What's Up? Let me check what that title was.
Oh, that one is
What's Up, Matt?
From our record, our new record too.
Okay, and I've got Love Song, but those are the only two that I have.
Okay.
You sent me sent me two links to Love Song.
Oh, I see.
So you might have copied the second link. I thought maybe just copied an email, but so those are the two tracks I have. So this is a remake of a Chartrand track.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool. How much did you guys change this up?
It's pretty changed.
I love it. I can't wait to hear it. Now, Brian is a vocalist. Is this an instrumental version of that track?
No, he's Will singing.
Okay, Will is singing on it?
Yeah, Will sings. He raps.
I've heard him rap. I've heard him sing a little. You know, but
yeah.
And he's a bad player, man.
Play bass, man. He's a great bass player.
Yeah, and he's a great rapper. I love his voice on that stuff. So,
mm-hmm.
Well, let's check this out. So this is not released yet.
No.
So this is on the upcoming record. So it's another world premiere here.
That's
on
right,
the Otto
D
Show.
Exclusive, baby.
That's right, with Love Song. And then who else is playing on this track? Or is it just
you two? Buddy Banks is playing drums.
Okay.
And then Adam Armijo is playing guitar.
Another incredible, incredible cat.
Yep.
What a guy.
Man,
great musician. You guys, some of the young guys in this town right now just blow me away. I mean, the talent.
I agree.
Miguel, and I've had Miguel on the show, and I've had Stanley on the show, and I've had Brian on the show. It's just pretty amazing, and it's a cool community. And then you know what? When Stanley was in just last week, we had a conversation about this contrast between the responsibilities as the artist writing and playing, and also engineering and producing. Now it's like
you have to do.
There
it
used
all.
To be people doing that for you, and now you kind of do it. And you mentioned the Unlimited record being the first thing you'd done together, or all came into the studio and made. So did you officially, unofficially engineer that? Were you the one in charge of the recording?
Yep.
And then I would imagine when you're dealing with that level of musicians and personalities, producing was kind of a team effort in terms of decision making.
It is. The writing and the producing was a team effort. The engineering, on the other hand, is and mixing is kind of one person focus.
And so you handle all that?
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah,
well, for our upcoming record, our last record, I had somebody else mix the record.
Okay. Cool.
Because I had a shot at it, and it was going downhill, bro.
You know, I had the same conversation with Stanley. I'm so happy that you had someone mix it, because it is something you have to learn.
Yeah.
You got to get good at that, you know. And then when you're great players writing great music, get a great mixer.
Absolutely,
just to finish it up.
Yeah.
Just makes sense. You need to treat your art with the same respect you do as a player. You know,
I agree.
And I think it's a dangerous thing these days when kids are young and up-and-coming artists think, as long as I have a laptop, I'm covered.
There's
a real education to the process.
It is. It's just like an instrument. I mean, the years of experience of mixing, that counts for something. You can't just wake up one day and be a great mixer.
Yeah, you got to have the years. Yeah, and even as kids, when you wake up and you find out that you can sing or you can hear and you start to play an instrument, you're not a virtuoso on day one.
No, no.
You just have what it takes to get there.
Right.
And so you go there. It just takes a little time. All right, well, then back to this tune. Let's play Love Song that no one's ever heard anywhere in the world except, of course, that they've been hanging around with Lamar and he played it for him in the car. So unreleased, probably not final mixed or still. Is this all mastered and mixed and ready for the record?
It is a final mix. It's not mastered yet, but
okay.
It's good enough for me.
Cool. Let's check it out. And hats off to Mr. Brian Chartrand, who's the writer, and he's probably in Germany playing at some little beer fest all the time. So hopefully you can hear it, Brian. Check this out on The Otto D Show. Love Slam.
Yeah.
listening to Otto D, coming at you live.
And that was Love Song here on the Otto D Show by the Gaines Brothers, an yet unreleased new record that'll be out
exclusive.
Soon. Yeah, very cool. And I'm familiar with the original by Brian, and that is a really cool version.
Thank you.
I love how everybody's kind of going crazy and getting featured a little. I mean, some of those bass lines, and I imagine Will's playing bass.
Yep, he's playing
and
bass.
And incredible vocal track, great keys.
Oh, thank you, man. You
know, the whole thing
thank
sounds
you.
Really, really nice. Speaking of Brian and Love Song, I know that you've worked with him for quite a while.
Yep.
And he has a number of different projects, and he keeps going to Germany with the Live from the Laurel Canyon show and with his Sweet Remains band. And I think you've gone with him one time.
Yes, I have. The Live from Laurel Canyon, and his own project a while back.
Was it Worth the Fight?
It wasn't Worth the Fight. He just does his own his own thing, you know?
Oh, right.
He goes over there and does it, you know?
Yeah.
It's been great. Like, Germany's great. We've been to the Netherlands, Denmark. It's been great working Brian. I have so much praise for his singing and his artistry and his songwriting. It's great to play with.
And it's very different than what we just heard.
Yes.
So stylistically, you have this depth of feel to play in so many different styles. In fact, when Stanley Serrano was on the show, Stanley talked about that he recently had an opportunity to play with you in Latin stuff that he's doing, you know. And I would have thought, well, that's probably something Lamar can't do. He can't do everything. You know, but Stanley was like, he's amazing at that. He's like, he's just so perfect at that. And I'm thinking, wow, that's awesome, you know. So where do you get all of these influences or all these styles, or how do you integrate those into your process and your playing?
Well, I think the styles of music is a culture. So I was, you know, going back to Cleveland, I was kind of blessed to be in a big diverse musically. It was R&B, it was gospel, and it was jazz. It was predominantly those three. But when I went to school, I got an opportunity to meet some of the working players in town, and one of those players is the best salsa keyboardist I know. Her name
don't worry about it. It's early. It's early.
But no, she taught me the Montuno.
Okay.
And that kind of goes to all that music. But this goes to any style of music. If you go to folk, country, it all originates in a certain culture. Mm-hmm. And then once you get exposed to that, you're able to play with it. So in Brian's sense, I've had experience in that too. But I haven't been able to work with it until I met Brian. And his music is really when I kind of like engulf myself in his culture and where that music comes from, like the James Taylor type thing.
From a vocal and maybe an initial songwriting point of view, you get the James Taylor influence, but the changes allow for a lot more space for a guy like you that has the experience in jazz to bring in an incredibly different flavor on keys.
Right.
I mean, when you play with, I think if you put somebody else in that music on keys, it's not at all going to go where you take it.
Right.
It's going to be a lot more following, like you would say, maybe the James Taylor influence or the more pop progression influence, where you seem to find a space and turn the whole thing sideways, and it still sounds just like the same thing, only wearing a different outfit. You know?
That is the goal. I'm glad you pointed out, because that is my goal, like to keep my own independent voice in the music, but still I want the song to be true.
Right.
Song. That's the goal.
You know, and through that original relationship at Voce, where you mentioned Adam Armijo as well and Mike, all of you guys were with Brian kind of as getting started with his band doing his own stuff.
Yeah.
And I think each of you did the same thing. I mean, Adam, as a guitarist, is one of those guys who you can tell it's him on the record. Anytime, anything he's playing, that's
right.
Adam. You know, he has his own relationship to the instrument that speaks in a particular way. And so he does the same thing in Brian's ensemble as you do. So I think Brian's been blessed with what a group, you know,
because
it's kind of like, okay, Brian, get out of the way. Next singer, they're going to do the same thing to the next guy. I'm not trying to say Brian isn't all that. He's all that too. But it's a blessing to have you guys as an ensemble to express the work.
Yeah.
You know, and then to hear you know, playing funk and jazz versus that kind of a thing. And then to hear you playing Latin music. You know, that's pretty incredible.
Yeah.
Who else have you been out on the road with at this point?
Well, there's only three artists I've been with. Brian, of course. Brian, right. We just talked about him. Mary Meadows.
Okay.
I've been on the road with him for a couple of years. And then before I got here, it was Pieces of a Dream.
Okay.
And those two are smooth jazz artists.
Okay. Now, I did a bit of work in the smooth jazz world, you know, for a while. I was working with the Braxton Brothers and Eddie M, and I did work on a few Wayman Tisdale albums.
Okay.
And so that was really when that stuff was all kind of popping and
right,
you know, it was
right.
really becoming a brand
the
new thing.
Years,
Urban
yeah.
AC Records, yeah. And Marion was really doing well as well. Now, when Marion goes out, I haven't seen his show out from a tour point of view. Mm-hmm. Does he have a vocalist on stage or is it an instrumental show?
It is an instrumental show.
Okay. And what was it like out with him and his band?
Oh, it's great. It's great. He has great music. He and his experience around being around so long, I picked up a lot from him.
Mm-hmm.
It was a great experience, yeah.
It's different being an entertainer as an instrumentalist than as a vocalist, isn't it?
It is. And, you know, it depends on the artist how different it is.
Mm-hmm.
But for Marion's case, I mean, he plays like he's a singer.
I mean,
so it's not a big difference, but yeah, there's a jazz thing that you can't do with... mm-hmm. vocalist.
And do you feel that you get more of an opportunity or even a requirement to take sections and show off in that environment than when you're working with a singer? Are there more, in a sense, solos?
Yes. Okay. Well, because you don't have the focal point
right.
of a vocalist. So
right.
everybody's an instrumentalist, and then you kind of have to do that to make the show interesting.
Yeah.
And it's warranted, you know, rather yeah. than like the vocals looking at you like, no, it don't go like that. Don't play that. You know how it can
yeah.
be.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And yeah. has there ever been that moment on stage, like with Marion, let's say, where you're getting too far into it and he's playing, and he's kind of like, dude, this is my section. Have you ever gotten that from him?
I'm pretty sensitive yeah. to when I take my times. And,
yeah.
you know, I don't.
That's why you get to work.
I don't do it not unless you say, I want you to take this here. And I ask questions before we hit, like, do you want me to go there? Because I will. And then we kind of agree to do it then. Yeah.
Oh, you know, that reminds me of a funny thing happened recently. I don't know, a month or two ago. I totally forgot about this. But there was a songwriter's kind of like an open mic showcase hosted by Brian here at the WOMAC. And I was there.
Oh,
and
yeah.
everybody said, are you going to get up and sing? I said, no, I just came to see everybody. I know everybody. I'll get up and sing. I said, well, I'll do one song, you know. So I went up and happened to have Todd Shuba playing drums, who had played on a record of mine. So I picked a song he'd played, even though it's been 15 years
yeah.
since he played it.
Yeah.
And Mario Mendeville was playing bass, and
right.
you were playing
yeah,
keys.
I was playing keys
and,
yeah.
and so I just got up there and I said, okay, Mario, it's simple. Just follow along. You'll get it. And I looked at you and I said, Mario, you're going to take two solos. And that's like, I just tell you when. Until then, just muddle around.
Right,
yeah.
just give me the okay,
yeah.
and then I go.
Yeah, and it was so hilarious because I love taking great players and just forcing you to fall off the cliff and fly. I
mm-hmm.
love it because you can.
Sure.
Where beginning guys or people who are a little more uncomfortable, they need the chart. They need to be,
right.
they got to be prepared. But
right.
when you're really good, you can find your way. It's a bit like a street fight.
Yeah.
You just kind of find your way through.
Yes, you can.
You hear the resolutions, and if you go to the wrong place when they go, you know how to kind of come back around or extend the phrase in a way that works.
Yeah, well, you got to have big ears.
Yeah.
I mean, you know,
it's a good
you
way to
be an ear
put
player,
it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you can only read, you can't. It's hard to do that.
Yeah.
yeah.
Well, now let's get to big ears, engineering and producing and songwriting. What do you prefer the most? Do you like diving in as the producer and making this picture, or do you prefer sitting on the stage playing piano behind somebody?
I like both of them. I like, you know, when I write my own music, I don't like to hand that job over to somebody else. I have a picture where I, like the song you just heard,
mm-hmm.
it's an arrangement, but there was a picture I wanted to be painted. And if you have mm-hmm. a producer, they have their own picture.
Mm-hmm.
So the producer end is with that. And playing, I love playing too.
Mm-hmm.
But if I do too much of one thing... I get tired of it.
Well, and I think that when you're working on a record sometimes, and maybe when you make more records all by yourself, you might start to feel that it starts to be too much of one personality.
That yeah, you can know? Run
and
into
so
that problem.
You can bring the producer yeah. just to keep you from doing what you would do so that you do something you'd never would have thought of doing. Or yeah. sometimes you put another keyboard on a track where you would always just play it.
Yeah,
just to breathe
totally
in different life.
Right.
Move it
right.
over a little. Because then all of a sudden you have a whole new creative perspective because there's something you didn't think of, which spawns a lot of new ideas.
Well, fortunately, I haven't got to the point where I've put out so much music and it's all the same, sounds like the same thing.
No, you keep putting a band together that's killer, doing one record and moving on.
Right.
You know, so that's kind of the opposite. So what are big plans for you? What are you hoping to do in the near future with your music career?
Well, I love playing. I love producing. I just want to grow in those senses and meet great people like yourself and great artists and continue to do what I'm doing.
Is the Gaines Brothers the most commercially pop project you tried to do? I mean, do you think this is the one that would take off in terms of within the walls of the more, you know,
commercial
set
in
record industry?
I would think so. Yes. I mean, that track doesn't really display the pop thing, mm-hmm. but yeah, we do have some pop and trap music on our CD. So we kind of combined all the things that we like to do. I mean, like I was talking earlier, we played so many different facets of music, mm-hmm. and we said, you know what, we don't have to fit into a jazz genre or R&B genre. Why don't we just put all that into one record, and that's what we're gonna do.
Mm-hmm. You know? Now, how are you with social media? Are you a fan? Do you get into it a lot? Do you just don't deal with it?
I hate it.
You hate it. Okay.
I don't like it.
I know. I hear what you're saying. How about Will? Is he the same, or is he more into it?
Yeah, he stays more update than me. Like, you know, he talks about Snapchat and all this. I don't know anything about that stuff.
Right.
Instagram. I'm not on Instagram. I have a profile. I probably posted two times and then I let it go for years.
Yeah.
Facebook, I kind of go on there because sometimes I get calls from people mm-hmm. that don't know me and they want to hire me for certain things.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I'm just thinking that, you know, Will's a character. He's a frontman character.
Yeah.
You know, more so than
he's
I think
artist.
You are.
Yeah. Absolutely.
He wants to get out there. He wants to smile and he wants to take the microphone.
Well,
that's
the dynamic. I mean, he's the artist and I kind of do everything else. I do all the producing and music and mixing and I do all the back end stuff.
And social media seems to be such a huge piece of that component these days when you're trying to make a buzz or get something going.
Yeah.
So I just wondered if he was way into that or if you have plans for that with the release on the Gaines Brothers.
Well, we have a management company out of San Francisco.
Okay.
And he's kind of taken over that whole role for us, which mm-hmm. is helpful.
Yeah.
So once we get done with the record, we have a video out as well. It's called All Good. You can go on YouTube and check it out. All Good, Gaines Brothers.
And we spell Gaines Brothers, G-A-I-N-E-S?
Yes.
Okay.
And you can also go to our website, gainsbrothers.com.
That's good. I like the .com.
And yeah, so he's taking on that role, and hopefully we can kind of toss that to somebody else when, you know, cause I don't think I'm good at it, and mm-hmm. Will has only so much time to deal with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When you're creating a new piece of music, do you tend to just sit at the keyboard and noodle around until you trip on something? Or do you tend to find that you get inspiration when you're maybe driving around and you got to get to a keyboard? How does it come to you usually?
You know, it's funny that how the creativity comes, because you can't schedule it, you know?
That's the truth.
You clear your schedule on Monday, be like, okay, next Monday I'm going to go write
I'm
two
gonna
songs.
Write something.
Right. You sit down and you just draw blanks the whole day and nothing's working out. What I find works for me is when I hear something or I have a creative moment, I try to put it down. Even if I can't work it out at that moment, I try to record it in my phone or in some type of medium so I can come back to it and expand on it. Because once I hear it again, I'm like, okay, you get back in that space. So that's worked for me, you know, over the years.
Cool.
Yep.
Your brother George. I know I went through the whole nickname when I was a kid of Rusty, and so there's people like Rusty, Otto, Rusty. Well, my real name is Otto.
Yeah.
But
George is Will's middle name.
Yeah. Well, I wonder because when I met him, he was Will, but George is the name he's going by.
Yeah.
So I wanted to correct that because I have referred to him as Will, I think, a couple times already.
He'll go by Will or George. I think, you know, his artist name is George, but I mean, he doesn't mind being called. He'd be like, don't call me Will.
Don't hurt his feelings.
My name is George, bro.
That's awesome.
He won't do that.
Cool. Very cool.
Yeah.
Well, listen, so we got the GainesBrothers.com. Yeah. We know how people can reach you there. Mm-hmm. Is Unlimited still playing? Or do you have a website or presence for that group?
Yeah, you can go to the Gaines Brothers. I'm working on the media stuff for that right now. But you can go on GainesBrothers.com, and then I'll post shows that we do in the near future. Right now, you know, the people in Unlimited, like Buddy Banks, he's doing his own record. You can check his stuff out. I don't know his website, but if you go on our website, you can follow those cats.
Okay.
And then Jermaine, he's doing his own project as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, let's play a piece of this other track. You've got What's Up, or What's Up, Master?
Yeah.
Is that the name of the track? Okay. When I see the word master, I think, oh, it's a master track. No, it's a demo track. No, this must be a master. I didn't realize it was part of the title because I haven't actually heard this track. Tell me a little bit about this track.
Well, again, we do a diverse set of music. This is a hip-hop rap track that we put together. There's nothing else to it, really.
Okay.
Just check it out. Hope right, you like it.
We're running out of time as well. It's coming up on the hour, so I'm just going to play a little bit of this. We'll keep our mics up.
Okay.
In case I have some questions for you.
Cool.
And you're the producer on this track.
Mm-hmm. I'm not saying names. You're stuck in your waist, man. I'm prepared for change. I got that shit that make you niggas want to stand up. Live for success. You see me standing with my hands up. If you got questions, I got answers, baby. You can tell how I deal with all my advances lately. Life ain't never been picture perfect to me. To tell you the truth, man, I keep it if it was worth it to me. Not concerned with the fact that you niggas. Are you doing all the programming, the drum programming?
Everything.
Nice stuff. And Will is doing all the vocal work.
Yep, he does all the vocal stuff.
And this is on the new record that's not out too?
This is
awesome.
Yeah, exclusive. I'm switching different positions. Here goes for it.
What's up? What's up? What's up? Hey, front line, dollar sign, tell these niggas what's up. Point it low, so I hit you in the head if you duck. Don't fuck with niggas, niggas fucking with me. Lethal injection, that ain't the end. That ain't the end, cause I come from the streets. Don't get it twisted, boy, we out here airing. Don't fuck with niggas, niggas fucking with me. Don't get to hating, boy, we got that recipe.
So that's it has a pop aspect and a pop element, but it doesn't sound like what pop sounds like right,
right
now.
Right.
So you're kind of stretching that out a little bit.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Got a lot of also your other influences are all kind of built into
right.
that
it's,
thing.
We mix it into a pot, like we were saying earlier. Yeah.
And so right now that's completely you and George, the two of you.
That's it.
That's
just
it.
Us two.
You're getting pretty good little drum programming there. And you're mixing the thing and producing the record. So, lock
yeah,
on. So
yeah.
When are you two playing a show again? You got anything lined up?
We do. We have a show here in town at the Scottsdale Arts. No, it's Live and Local.
Okay.
They do a series of live and local. We might do the album release there. We don't know yet. But again, you can go to our site and check us out and see where.
Do you guys keep your calendar
doing
up there pretty well?
Yes.
And yes. Then is George on Facebook as well?
Yes, we're on Facebook, okay. And you can catch him on Instagram.
He's an Instagram guy.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Well,
there's another one, too. I don't know.
Should check that out. And I want to thank you, man, Lamar, for coming in.
Thank you, Otto. It's been a pleasure.
It's been such a pleasure hearing you play
you know,
over the years because you do have your own thing in your own way. And every time I listen to you play, it's kind of like, wow.
I appreciate that, man.
It's always worth the time, you know. And so I would tell everybody, if you have a chance to see Lamar Gaines play, you got to get out and see him.
Thanks for having me, Otto.
You got it. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks for coming in.